Expressions from St. Paul is 100% listener supported. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions. It's because of you that we get the opportunity to share the good news gospel of Jesus Christ with the world.
I owe God, thank you for saving me. I owe God, thank you for not let other folks make me dislike some folks. Let me tell you, I owe God everything I own because he made me a trustee of what I own. And let me tell you, I owe God for allowing me to be here this morning preaching to you. I owe him thanks.
Have you ever thought about what you owe God thanks for? If you're like me, it's a lot. Buckle your seatbelts. Dr. Williams serves up part two of Living a Thankful Life. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 47 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. Join us this Sunday morning for Sunday school. We have evangelism training at 9 a.m. in the sanctuary for all ages. And then at 10 a.m., our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, we're going to head on back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 down through 7. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the sanctuary, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
It's good to see each one of you here today. This is the first of the year, and you were showing today that this is going to be your way of living daily. Some praise and some friends thanksgiving. I repeat again, nobody has been as good as God. That might be the correct English, but nobody has been better than God. Amen. And what you don't have, thank him for what you have. Because you don't have to have nothing. But he still bless you. You can keep your seat today because you've been up a lot. And I understand quite well. If you remember last Sunday, and thank you so much for your prayers and your help. Last Sunday we preached the first portion of the sermon, Living a Thankful Life. A thankful life. I said this to you 100 times, I'm sure more. I used to really didn't think it was right, and I thought, and I didn't like it. If I come home and say that so-and-so did so-and-so, and I think that's really bad of him or her, and if I say it in front of my mother, she said, wait, could have been you, and you'd have did worse. Never said a condemning word toward those people. But she threw it in our face. It could have been you. And you know, I grew to find out that's correct. It could have been me. Amen. Amen. This is before I move into the message. This will help some of you because I know you're complaining. And I'm just trying to help you. There's no need for some complaining. Some complaining, we ought to let it go. Amen. And Joyce said, there's a lady who worked domestic work for years. And she did what we're going to be having in this church soon to help you. I just pray to God that you listen. She made X number of dollars. She worked for two different people, groups. And one of the groups she worked for, when they paid her, she saved her money. The other group, she lived on it, and she gave tithes on both groups. She decided that verse 62 or 63, she bought her home. She bought her home and paid for it cash. And then she bought a car. She's still working. And when she would go to work for these people, she would drive to the bus where she could take the bus and ride the bus. The question was, why you ride the bus when you have a nice car? She said, because people I work for, they are nice to me. And if they think that I have any brains, they won't be nice to me no more. So they don't need to know all that I have. Why? So she says, she got ready to retire in her late 60s, almost 70. One of her boss was taking her home. This was a real story. And she told the boss, where she's going to put her out, she said to the boss, no, I'm going home. I'm going to my house. So she circled around a few circles, and they carried her to her boss, carried her to her house. She said, this is not your house. She said, no, but I own it. She said, well, you never told me you was buying a house. She says, but I'm retiring now, and my house is paid for. She says, then all what I've done for you, you didn't need it. She said, yes, I needed it. But what I did, I learned from you not to be wasteful. You bought everything in the store because you had money. And you still owe bills. I don't owe nobody. I'm debt free. She came to church, told them she's retiring, and she's going to have a celebration at her house. And they'd never been there. She invited a lot of people. They came. They thought she had rented a house. But she owned a house. And then she said, everything's free. Help yourself. About 100 people. This is the real part of the story. Don't tell everything you do. Keep some things. You don't tell what you don't want nobody to know. So some stuff you know, don't tell them. Amen. I went to the Virgin Islands, and I came back. Well, how did you go to the Virgin Islands and stayed almost 3 weeks? I said, someone gave me a trip. They did. You must know them well. I said, no, I don't know them that well. I told them, they said, where are you going on vacation? I said, oh, well, next year I want to go to the Virgin Islands. In the mail I got, for my wife and I, got round-trip tickets. Curtis, I didn't tell nobody. When I got ready to leave, I didn't take a chance on somebody carrying me to the airport. Because, right. You know, sometimes you're all late. I missed my plane on one of y'all. Yeah. You know. I'm not going to do that but once. And so I called the other people. What you call those people? From the airport that takes you to the airport. You're not going to be late with them. When I arrived in the Virgin Islands, went to the hotel. A nice-looking lady came to the counter, and she said, how could I help you? And I gave her my name, and she looked at the book, and I said, I need to give you a card. She says, she looked, and she just kept looking. She said, you don't have to give me a card. Your hotel is paid for, and the credit is open. Now, I wasn't like you. Who did it? When did they do it? I don't care who did it. And so then, she said, you can eat whatever you want to. She said, but your room is downstairs. Downstairs, first floor, well, like you go under the ground. First floor. And one man was standing. He said, you're going to like it under the ground? I said, you can see. They got lights down there. I'm going on the ground. I said, if something happens to me, my wife won't have to work no more. Because I went down first. See, was in his thing going that we shouldn't be there. Stayed there, my friends, very close to 3 weeks. Didn't spend a dime. And don't really know who paid for it. And I haven't did no investigating. My wife said, don't you want to know who did it? I said, yeah, no. We had a good time. I went out on the beach and laid in that sand and got burned. But I enjoyed it. I went all on the islands. I'm giving you this for a specific reason. God has in store for all of his people plenty, but you blocks him from letting you get it. You block him. How can he bless you when you out talking? If you want to be blessed in 2019, pray to God. Read the scripture. Get you a place in your house that you pray. I pray all over the house, but I pray specifically in the living room when there's no one there, and I pray in my bedroom. Amen. I sit on the side of the bed and thank him for who he is and what he has done. Then I pray, and then I go and do what I have to do. I ask him every day for strength. Because you might look at me and say, well, he don't have much strength. I can knock him around. I would urge you, don't try it. Don't let your friends and your enemies block your blessing in 2019. I put your hand, come here, Clark. But I'm preaching. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Put your hand on my shoulder. I had two people. They would do anything publicly to encourage me. And they'll put their hand on my shoulder. And I wouldn't know how much I love you. You're my friend. I discovered, not by nobody telling me, thank you. Nobody didn't tell me anything. I discovered, Curtis, because I pray so much, it was revealed to me that they wasn't honest. They was not what? Now here's Percy, he'll tell you. I could tell you all a lot of things that is revealed to me, but you're not ready for it. Amen. Amen. And the last one, I give you this one. Curtis, I was the president of the state convention, the Baptist Ministers Conference, invited me to preach in Los Angeles on Monday. You know, that's that big meeting. They had 500 and something ministers in attendance. On Wednesday, I was napping in my house. And it, just like you, this voice said, don't you go. I thought somebody was in the house. I woke up and I went back to sleep because I had some time. Don't you go. I didn't go. And what they were trying to do, it was three people in that conference, they were doing all they could to set me up. And the upsetter set them up. They called me and said, why are you not coming? I said, the Spirit told me don't come and I won't be there. The who told you? We were going to give you a good offer. And I said, I got one yesterday. He said, what do you mean? And I said, when I got a good night's sleep and some food to eat, that was a good offering. Later on, one of them got sick. I'm preaching. One of them got sick. Called me and apologized. Said, you were right. We were jealous of you and we were going to mess you up. There was a man in the Bible was academically well-versed, and spiritually he got first, well-versed, when Jesus saved him. And he never gave up his training. He just switched it over. And he did more after than he did before. He says, this is Paul. I didn't say this. Paul said, one thing I'm going to do. One thing I'm going to do. I'm going to forget the what? What's behind. And I'm going to do what? Now, I'm preaching to you. I know you're not listening, but I'm preaching. Some of the stuff you did in 2018, leave it in 2018. Don't bring it over. I appreciate the choir singing this morning. I appreciate the choir singing to open up the training, the praise team. And somebody was, attacked me last week about, I'm so upset about people's dress code coming to church. Now, let me help you. I'm not going to ever change. If you can go to your job looking nice, you ought to sure come before God looking nice. I grew up looking nice. I'm a man. I would not wear a dress to church.
Preach the truth.
This might look like a dress, but there's no dress. So you said, and when you wear pants to church and they're so tight, if you look at them, they're burst, you are out of order. And I'm going to tell you ladies something you don't know, the men are going to tell you. It's a very few men are comfortable with their women dressed in tight pants. And the men said, they can't tell you because they're afraid. But I can tell you. When you dress, it's, boy, you can't beat a woman with a flare-tail skirt or dress. When she walk, it flares. And a man go, but he not going to do too much when you got them pants so tight you can't even walk. He not going to do too much. He just looks at me. And the man said, you can say amen, Curtis, it's all right. I'm protecting you today. We want to start the new year out what? Right. Right, I married a couple and she had on a pantsuit. And I said, where's your dress? Well, I'm not going to have one. I said, you got an hour and a half. I said, that don't look good. You married her? He said, well, I didn't want her to do it. And she got all upset. I said to myself, if you'd got upset with me and I'm getting ready to marry you, we wouldn't have gotten married. Because you see, the reason I could say that, because when you're handsome, you can find somebody. You don't have to tell me I'm handsome. I already know it. Isn't that right, Al? Let us act like we are walking and talking with God. Amen. If I come up in this church with a pair of overalls on, Dale will have me arrested. I don't have any. I said I was preaching last Sunday on living a thankful life. When you get saved, God opens up all that stuff you did in the past. God takes it away from you if you want him to. Any man in Christ, he's a what? What he's saying about a new creature, not your flesh. He's talking about your inner thinking process changes. If it doesn't change, you might not be saved. You think different. You act different. You look different. You want different things. You don't want no argument. Amen. I'm going home and there's nobody there to argue with me. Nobody in my house but when I go home but the spirit and the devil trying to get in. So if you want to argue with anybody, go out and jump in the pool. The book says that being thankful, 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 7. Look what it says. It talks about God. It says, I, person, a pronoun, Paul says, thank my God always on your behalf. I do that all the time. For the grace of God, which is given you by Christ. I thank God. Free. It's free. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 5, that in everything ye are enriched by Christ. All utterance and in, my friend, all knowledge. There's a lady now who works for the state. She retires next year. And the requirement to have a BA for that job. She worked there 32 years and she don't have no kind of A. She finished high school and that's where she started working. She don't talk about it. And some people said if they find out about it, she'll be in trouble. No, they'll be in trouble. If she's pleased the people for 30-something years and now they mess over her, they can be sued. Know your law. Otherwise, it's not her, but it was him that opened the door for her. And let me say this while I'm on it. There's a lot of you have jobs that you did not qualify for. But God looked beyond the qualification. He knew you was a good worker. And you could learn. He gave you the job anyway. So when you go to work in the morning, quit being angry. Be smiling. And somebody said, how you doing? Said, I'm fine. It's good to see you. God bless you. And walk on by faith. That's a book. Amen. Read it sometimes. Read it. Money, you put a lot of emphasis on it. It's nice to have money because you can't do much without money. Money is helpful. But money can't buy peace. Money can't buy joy. Friends, and for last time I heard, money can't buy you contentment. And money can't buy you good health. And I know this, money can't buy you a clean conscience. Or money can't change your bad attitude. You can have all the money you want to, and that's what make your attitude worse. Did you not know there was a man was on television yesterday, maybe you saw it. Most people, he said, that has more than X number of millions of dollars, he said their lives are miserable. And the reason it's miserable because they have to worry about it. No peace. I'd rather have peace than to have money any day. Amen. I'd rather have something to eat that's going to help me than to have what I want all the time. Some stuff I want, I don't need. Let's move on. Friends, listen carefully. Listen, beloved. Paul reminds us that we are recipients of God's grace. Verse number 4. Paul tells us that this grace is given you by Jesus Christ. Grace is a gift from God and a gift of God. It is received from Jesus Christ, and noted that grace is received without merit or achievement. We don't do anything for it. Just receive it. What do I do to be saved? Nothing. Just accept it. We can't, my friend, we can't earn grace. We can't buy it, and we can't fight for it or bargain for it. Grace is undeserved and unearned. It's free, God's grace. And if we don't know it by now, many of, my friend, many of, if you look at it sometime, you look at it, many of the blessings we enjoy here on planet Earth are undeserved blessings. We don't deserve everything God blesses us with, but he still loves us so much until he gives us grace. All right? Now, there was a mother found, I gave you this before, there was a mother found under her plate one morning, a bill made out by her small son, Bradley. It read, "Mother owed Bradley for running errands, $1. For being good, $1. For taking music lessons without complaining, $2. For cleaning up my room every day this week, $3. Total, Bradley owes mother $7. At lunch, Bradley found under his plate a note by his mother. And she said, "Bradley owes mother." Listen to this carefully and you can help your children. "Bradley owes mother, my friends, for nursing him and the infants. Nothing. Bradley loves every thought his mother did for him. Owes mother nothing. Brother Bradley owes mother nothing for his bad behavior. Nothing. For clothes him on his back and shoes on his feet. Nothing. For meals he ate every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, nothing. The toll that Bradley owes mother is nothing." Can I help somebody? Listen, friend. We could not buy God's grace, earn God's grace. God would say, if he was charging us, listen what he would say. God would say, "For the air you breathe, you owe me nothing. For the waking you up this morning, nothing. For clothing you in your right mind, nothing. For loving you unconditionally, nothing. The grace of God, his unmerited favor, costs us nothing." If that's factual, and it is biblically, if we don't owe God for what he's doing for us, if he doesn't owe us, and we don't owe him, when are we going to start giving him something? You said, but William, God didn't ask me. Yes, he did. I passed them out 700 in the Bible. I gave you one. We owe God some praise. Listen careful. You don't like that. Some people don't like to pray. They say it's not for Baptists. Curtis, you quit saying that because you deny. I know you don't say it. You denying God's word. It's more in the Bible about praise than about singing. See, let me help you here. When God blesses you, you ought to take the time and praise him. Where I live, when we bought the house, I got the house that my wife liked. And some things you have to get what they like if you want to have peace. And so I said, "When are we going to celebrate?" She said, I got 2 cakes coming and some ice cream. And everybody come, we're going to take the time when they get here, we're going to celebrate. We're celebrating. I hear what you're saying. I worked hard to get this house. You dreaming. How could you work hard if God didn't give you strength? That's right. That's right. Did you know? How would you be able to work hard and you're not in your right mind?
Thank you, Lord.
How? How are you going to be able to love somebody when you can't love yourself? Amen. How did you get up this morning? How did you get up this morning and didn't have no strength if God hadn't given it to you? How would you be here today praising God and don't have no strength if he hadn't gave it to you? You owe God something. Amen. I wish I had time to tell you. I just throw a little out for you. I give you breakfast and you can have lunch for yourself. I owe God, thank you for saving me. I owe God, thank you for not let other folks make me dislike some folks. I owe God, let me tell you, I owe God everything I own because he made me a trustee over what I own. I know what you think. I own my home. No, you don't. You're a trustee. As soon as you die, somebody's going to take it over. And this modern generation, when they take your house over, I can name you now. This last year, 4 or 5 homes got lost because the educators took them over. Your children, if they're not saved, they're going to take your house and sell it or borrow money on it. They're going to drink it up, dress it up, drive it up, and they're going to either smoke it up. Enjoy your house while you live. Hallelujah, Jesus. And let me tell you, I owe God for allowing me to be here this morning preaching to you. I owe him thanks. And so every now and then I take the time and thank him. Well, William, what are you thinking of? Thinking him that I am in a position to thank him. I owe him. Everything I have, I owe him for it. And you telling me that I'm not going to give him my tithes he asked for? He asked for tithes, and when you give tithes, you're giving blessing. You receive.
That's the word.
Let me give you a testimony. My wife was in the hospital and sick, had surgery. And it was coming Sunday and I got paid. And I had a hospital bill. And insurance, because I was black, only gave us a small amount of money. And those that you all don't know what's going on in life or what is going on.
That's right.
And so I said, I looked at my tithes. I said, I can't afford to give my tithes. Today I got to give something on the hospital. And this voice said to me, that's not your tithes. That's God's tithes. And I walked up, then those days you had to bring it up. I walked up to the table and dropped my tithes in. And someone, this was out in Chicago, someone shook my hand, said, I just want to give you a little help. Shook my hand, shook it. Now I'm bringing in tithes to the church. I got home, Curtis. None home. I went back to my seat and I leaned down because I didn't want nobody to see what I was doing. And in my hand, there was 10 $100 bills. And my tithes that I paid was $1,000. And I got the $1,000 back. Now listen, now I got to pay tithes on the $1,000. Then I paid tithes on it. Then when Sue came out of the hospital, they reduced the bill for X number of dollars. That's revealing. So before you attack God, attack yourself. Amen. Amen. Let me give you another testimony. This is part of this living a thankful life. My driver wasn't able to deliver me Saturday. So 3 people called me, 3, and said, are you going to be able to go to the training? I said, oh, yes. You have a way? Oh, yes. Thank you so much. Somebody else before I can hang up, offer me a ride. And St. Paul, I had three offers. I put them in the reserve. Then I called somebody. What time are you going? They told me, I need a ride. Now, these are in reserve. Not that I didn't want them. I am a stunt believer in reserve. You can talk now. I don't care what you tell me. I gave Johnny I gave Johnny, there he is, my tithes for 2019. I gave it to him. I didn't say, what you gonna do now? All of the blessings I got for my birthday financially, I had to pay tithes on it. And I was told, don't do that. That's your special gift. That's why I pay tithes, because it's my special gift. Then I got a gift all the way from Chicago. You really not listening. I closed this year out debt free. I gave 9 great-grandchildren, all of them gifts. And I gave Miss Williams' daughter a gift. And I gave Miss Williams' grandkids a gift. And how I did it, I started in October, laying it away, putting it to the side. I'm an old school, I believe in layaway. But I'm a new school because I don't have no debt after Christmas.
Help us.
All that came from the grace of God. Wasn't for His grace, I wouldn't think like that. Amen. How are you thinking for this year? But I'm not giving them my tithes because I don't know what they're going to do with it. None of your business. In this church, you are told everything we are doing. What you going to tell God when you meet Him? Friends, live a thankful life. All we had to do was receive it. Look at somebody right now and tell them, just said to them, nothing. Cost me nothing to look at you. Turn around and look at them. If they don't like it, look again. Nothing. Nothing. It is a gift from God. Paul says that this grace was given to us by Jesus Christ. We are the recipients of God's grace. Furthermore, we are revealers of God's grace in verse number 6. Notice the word confirm in verse 6. That word, my friend, speaks of that which is secure and guaranteed. There's nobody can stop you but you. Nobody can stop you but you. You want to be happy this year and blessed, get on your knees every day and learn not to talk so much but pray more. Thank him. These men sitting here, they're praying for me while I preach. You see, but I was expecting a different kind of sermon. That's what's the problem in this world. You expect what you don't need. What you need is what you get. And you'll be blessed if you use it. Amen. Now there's a close. I won't finish the sermon, but I'll close. I want you to listen to the close. One day, Jesus. I don't know when, but one day he's coming back. Today, they're working hard, or yesterday, for the governor to be installed. And at his mansion, when he's installed it, you will not be in a position to go and visit him unless he extends to you an invitation. It won't happen. One day, Jesus is going to come back. He's extending to you today an invitation. And if you reject it, when he comes back, you don't have to. You go to purgatory I'm going to take my chance. Let me give you an illustration. There's a man that said, if you are saved and you find out there's no heaven, you still have lived a good life on earth. But if you're not saved and find out that there is a heaven, then you live the bad life on earth and you're going to be in hell and in hell and in hell and in hell. In hell, there's no water. In hell, there's no air conditioning. In hell, there's no gossiping friends. In hell, there's no comfort. In hell, there's no more praises and thanksgiving. But when I get to heaven, every day is going to be sunshine. No more sickness. No more TBV. No more Republicans or Democrats. I'm going to sit at his feet and praise him. He's worthy just to be praised. Say, I'm saved. Because I accepted his invitation. What about you?